present
lecture is on how did God create the world. We've already seen something about what is creation. We now want to ask ourselves really two questions. God, we know, is an ocean of divine attributes. What attribute did God use, to use our human language, in creating? And we are forever asking, when did something take place? So we ask, when did the original creation of the world occur? You will notice, I insert the word original into the question. Because you see, creation is still going on. As we shall see, the moment a child is conceived, mother and father provide the material substance. It takes the same omnipotence that brought the universe into existence to at that moment create. And this is an article of the Catholic faith, to create the human soul. The object of our reflections in the present lecture is rather, when did the first or original creation take place? All subsequent creations of the world of spirit have been going on ever since and will continue, and how important this word is here, until the end of time. First, we answer our two questions. With what divine attribute or power did God create? God created the world with his will. Oh, but we better know what kind of a will. With his free will. I cannot tell you, after 30 years of teaching theology, how relatively few people, I think, realize that God has a free will. He therefore created, and we're using, notice, the past tense, with total freedom. In other words, by a completely free decision. Now, decision, as I'm sure you realize, does not, properly speaking, belong to the will. Secret. We decide with our minds. A decision is made with the mind. There are so many people, oh well, I know, that make the most incredible choices because he had not first made decisions. And there are other people who make all kinds of decisions but never put these decisions into effect. Even though we speak of decision regarding God, we don't really mean that somehow God had to figure this thing out and finally, laboriously, after centuries of divine reflection, he reached a decision. But we have no other word to use because it's the word that we have to use. From all eternity, God foresaw, foreknew what kind of a world he would make. And then he decided when he would create it. In answer to our second question, when did the original creation take place? The answer, also by the way defined by the First Vatican Council, God created the world. We're going to use different expressions. From the very beginning of time. What do you mean, from the very beginning of time? Well, when he made the world, that's when time started. You mean there was no time before creation? You're right. Time began the moment God created the world. Among many passages, and there are several hundred, that at least implicitly express what we are saying, I have chosen two. The logical one, the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, there was a beginning the moment God created the heavens and the earth. You see, God never began. And the beautiful prayer of our Lord to his Heavenly Father with the Last Supper, in which he prayed, Father, glorify me with yourself, with the glory I had with you before the world existed. Oh, how important that word before is. As you probably know, the first general council of the Catholic Church met in Nicaea in Asia Minor in 325. The bishops assembled to condemn a man by the name of Arius. But, quite frankly, the bishops were no match for Arius the theologian. He fielded all their questions, and they couldn't pin him down. The problem was, Arius seems to deny that Jesus Christ is true God. how can we, without a speech on his part, pin him down? So the bishops were advised by another theologian, give Arius this question. Was there ever a time when Jesus Christ in no way existed? Was there ever a time when Jesus Christ in no way existed? And tell Arius, after he's given this prayerful reflection, to answer not in a speech but in one word, yes or no. He came back and told the assembled hierarchy, in answer to your question, was there ever a time when Jesus Christ in no way existed? He said, yes. That settled it. They condemned Arius as a heretic and the bishops went home. Christ's everlasting pre-existence, before, as he told his Father, the world existed, is the bedrock of our faith. Remove that, and no Christianity is left, because no Christ is left. And Christ added, in the same chapter in John's Gospel, speaking to his Father, you have loved me before the creation of the world. Obviously, if the Son coexisted from all eternity with the Father, surely he was loved by the Father. Note the word before the creation of the world. Now some explanation. What do we mean when we say that God was totally free in creating? We believe in this kind of freedom. None of us ever experiences it. God was sovereignly, absolutely free. First of all, there was nothing from outside of God that could coerce him. Why not? Because by presupposition, nothing else existed. But the harder one, and let me tell you, it's easy to say it, but we better believe it. God was under no compulsion from within himself, even his love did not compel God to create. Is there within the Godhead a necessary love? Is there within the Trinity a love that God must have, and in our human pedestrian language, must exercise. Yes, the love of each person within the Trinity. And that's what we mean when we quote St. John, who says that God is love. Note the difference. God is love because within Him there had to be, there must be, by the necessity of the Godhead, a love of each of the three persons for one another. Mutual shared love is what constitutes God. God is a society. God is a plurality. God is a community. That love within God is as necessary as God Himself. But God not only is love, He is also loving. And thank God for that. It is therefore from no necessity within God, even His love, it was a love that was absolutely free, either to create or not to create. I look around to see some empty chairs. It isn't often I don't see one empty chair. Oh, pardon me, behind me. Could God have created a human being to fill that chair? That is God loving. But that love is not compulsive. It is not necessitating. It is, in the deepest and profoundest divine sense, free. Moreover, and perhaps more mysteriously still, God could either have created or not. Either this world, and all of us are tempted to say, Lord, even I can think of a better world. But we better not say that. We must distinguish. Absolutely speaking, could God have created a world in which there would be no evil? No sin, no suffering. Yet for reasons best known to Him, and how this tests our faith, He created this world, which we better call a good world. Good because, and insofar as, it was created by God. Now God's creating in time or more accurately, with time. This would take not a class but a semester all to itself. To explain that time is a measure of change. The moment we say that, we imply that the moment God created finite, changeable being came into existence. Until God made anything, there could be no time, because there was no change. Why no change? Because God is absolutely and utterly immutable. Now some implications. My only regret is we don't have another 20 minutes to dwell on those implications. It is God's will to create, which is the foundation of his fatherhood. A father, and I should not add mother, have to freely will, their offspring into existence. God freely willed our existence. Except for God's, and I repeat, free will, nothing but God would exist. And except for God, nothing exists. Because, as we shall see later on, the same infinite creative will that brought the world into existence, the same omnipotence, the same power, the same wisdom, the same love, must keep the world every moment in existence. We call ourselves free. We are. I've been telling my students over the years, there are two final mysteries in the universe. One in heaven, the Holy Trinity. One on earth, human liberty. God, without ceasing to be God, gave us, what are we saying? Gave us the freedom to either cooperate with or resist that same divine will that brought the world into being. My friends, the only way we can sin, and we all do, is because we at least momentarily blind ourselves or fail to realize whose will we are disobeying when we sin. God gave us our freedom. He wants us to use it. And the secret of happiness in this world, no matter what the price, no matter what the price, is submitting our wills to the omnipotent will of God. That, if you please, is God's reward for our cooperating with that divine will, except for which we would not even be able to cooperate with the will of God. Thank you again for listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I have been informed that you didn't know that there was a term paper due in this class. Well, for your pleasant information, there is. Now, over the years, my practice is, for undergraduate classes, I require a 5-page term paper. Graduate, 10 pages. And I also tell my students, 10 pages, double space, normal margins, and normal size type. You can't imagine. What I have already received. So there will be a term paper, and it is due the last day of class. And the subject, of course, is literally as wide as the world. You may, of course, write a research paper, as you wish, on any one of the many aspects that we will have covered during the class. I would welcome, without saying that has to be it, a personal reflective paper. In other words, your understanding, your interpretation, and best of all, your meditative reflection on some mystery of the faith. These are mysteries of the faith that we're dealing with. Perhaps how some of these ideas could be communicated to others. In any case, it need not be a term paper with footnotes and a lot of scientific apparatus. It may be totally personal. Is that fair? It's a good idea, if you don't mind, to make a copy of the term paper and give me the copy if you wish. I like to keep the term papers. So if you give me the original and you want it back, I'll give it back to you if you give me a copy. Is that fair?
About the term papers, do you want us to turn in our topic ahead of time?
No, there's no need of turning out a topic. However, you're welcome to. In other words, a topic need not be approved beforehand. However, if you wish any counsel or direction on the topic, only one recommendation. Better choose a topic that is not too ambitious. In other words, since you've only got 10 pages to work with, you may, of course, make it longer. The longest term paper I've ever received from any student, an undergraduate student at a state university, was 86 pages. In any case, it is good to rather confine yourself to some one aspect of a large subject.